Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. Today on the show, surprise, surprise, there's more Rudy Gobert trade takes, more national folks. Some like it, some don't. A couple more takes, this time from Sports Illustrated. Plus, on the Ringer, the Timberwolves are called out for having one of the best acquisitions, under the radar acquisitions of the offseason in Kyle Anderson. We'll talk about what they said about Kyle Anderson and what I think his role will be this season for the Wolves. It's all upcoming on the show today. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome into the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beek and I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Monday, everybody. Hopefully you had a fantastic weekend. And a big thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. Of course, Locked On Wolves is free and available everywhere. That includes YouTube, as well as we're actually about a year on YouTube now, almost exactly a year on YouTube, plus all your favorite audio platforms. If you like to listen on Apple or Google or Spotify or maybe Odyssey, you can find this show anywhere. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves or my account, which is at bbeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right. Couple things I want to get to today. One, Sports Illustrated had kind of a roundtable article out, and they talked about best offseason move, worst offseason move, most surprising offseason move, et cetera, et cetera. There were, I think, three Timberwolves mentioned, so I want to cruise through those and give my thoughts on their thoughts. And then The Ringer had an article, or I guess more accurately, Dan Devine at The Ringer, who does a fantastic job, has covered the league for a long time, I believe at Yahoo previously. He's been at The Ringer now for a couple years, or a few years. He wrote an article about the seven most intriguing under the radar deals in free agency, and Kyle Anderson is one of them. He has a really interesting, kind of a fun write up about Kyle Anderson and how Slimo should fit with the Wolves. And I want to talk a little more about that, kind of expand on that topic, because I think it's time to talk about his role, right? Like, what is Kyle Anderson's role actually going to be on the Wolves this season? So we're going to get to that in a moment. First, let's start with the Sports Illustrated article. It's called Best, Worst, and Most Surprising Moves of the NBA Offseason. It's a roundtable with Howard Beck, Robin Lundberg, Chris Mannix, Rohan Nadkarni, and I guess that's it. So the first question is, what's the best move of the offseason? Howard Beck says the Rudy Gobert trade from Utah's side. He talks about how good it was to cash in or cash out on Gobert for all the draft picks. The Gobert-Mitchell era had gone stale and they need to bottom out. So he likes the trade. The question is, what's the best move of the offseason? He thinks the Jazz had the best move of the offseason. The answer to the same question from Chris Mannix, he says, I'll just read, it's a pretty short paragraph. I'll just read what he says. He says, Minnesota was lampooned for forking over years of future draft capital for Rudy Gobert, but Gobert instantly makes the Wolves a top 10 defense and takes enormous pressure off Karl-Anthony Towns, who, if he continues to make threes, will ease any concerns about having two bigs on the floor. With Anthony Edwards poised to take another step, you can comfortably pencil Minnesota into a top five slot in the Western Conference. From there, it'll be on Tim Connolly, one of the NBA's top talent miners, to find the pieces to fit around them. Now, I've been saying now for weeks the Wolves are a top five team in the West. We talked last week, I think it was midweek, last Wednesday, the ESPN projections that came out with the Wolves in seventh. There's been some more noise about them not being a top five team. Obviously, that's absurd. I mean, I've been saying all along since the Gobert trade, the Wolves will finish between third and fifth in the Western Conference. I think that's the range. And Mannix says the same thing here at SI.com, has them as a top five team in the West. And I wholeheartedly agree with that. His analysis of the trade, obviously nothing groundbreaking there, but I think folks are just really overlooking the fact that Utah had a top 10 defense. I think it was five of the 6 years or five of the seven or four of the 6 years he was in Utah. It was like more than two thirds, more than three quarters of the time when Gobert was a regular rotation guy. He wasn't like his first year. He was a bench guy, I think still in his second year. But they were consistently a top 10 defense. They had a top three defense a couple of times in Utah with Gobert. He is essentially a walking top 10 defense. Remember how bad those perimeter defenders were for Utah. And it's very easy to gloss over the fact that it almost automatically makes them a top 10 defense. They were, what, 13th last year when it was all said and done in terms of defensive efficiency? And that was with Towns at center and with, you know, without defenders like a Kyle Anderson. Obviously, Patrick Beverley was on the team, but I think Kyle Anderson somewhat makes up for that loss in terms of length defensively. Obviously, different players at different positions, but But playing bigger will allow, you know, Edwards to play the two and shifting the lineup a little bit. McDaniels playing the three. So the Wolves are hoping to not have to be as aggressive defensively and be able to play whatever coverage they feel suits the matchup the best and use the length and athleticism of Ant and Jaden McDaniels and length and not as much athleticism with Kyle Anderson. And then obviously Rudy Gobert being Rudy Gobert on the back line of the defense. So I think the point here that they're essentially automatically a top 10 defense is really fascinating. No Timberwolves mention under the worst moves of the offseason, under most intriguing move of the offseason. The Timberwolves got a mention and I lost where it went, but they're here we go. Not intriguing, most surprising move of the offseason. Ned Carney talks about the Gobert trade and getting all the picks that they got. And Lundberg talks about the Wolves getting Gobert being surprising for two reasons. One, wouldn't have thought of Minnesota as a destination for Gobert because of Towns. This is true. I talked about this on the podcast when the rumor first came out, and I said I didn't think it would happen because I didn't think the Jazz would trade him within the division, and I didn't think the Wolves would acquire another center. Well, I was wrong, as was Lundberg. I'll admit I was wrong about that. I completely, apparently underestimated how hell-bent Tim Connelly was on playing Towns at the four. So that's what Lundberg says here. And then he says, number two, the return that Utah was able to procure for Gobert. Rudy is a very good player, even if somewhat limited. So it takes something to get a guy like that, but still wasn't what I was expecting. That I think undersells Rudy Gobert. Obviously he's a very good player. He's a three-time defensive player of the year. He's a multi-time All-NBA team member, a multi-time All-Star. I think we're kind of just glossing over how good Rudy Gobert is. Not we as Timberwolves fans or podcasters or podcast listeners, but the NBA community at large and especially national media types. Rudy Gobert is really good. Yes, he's got limitations. So did Karl Anthony Towns. Karl Anthony Towns struggled in the playoffs and nobody would have batted. Well, maybe somebody would have batted an eye. Not too many eyes would have been batted if the Wolves traded Karl Anthony Towns, you know, for a return like that. I think Gobert is still being undersold and we'll see how, well, obviously all this stuff, like we're going to see how this thing shakes out and some of these arguments are going to look silly. You know, one side of this is going to look silly, right? And of course the answer, as it so often is likely somewhere in the middle, right? The Wolves are going to be much better. They're probably not going to win the championship next year. But they're not going to be worse. They're not going to be the same. Barring catastrophic injury, they're going to be a better team this year. I don't think that there's really any question about that. Okay. Let's move on to the Ringer article that has a full section just on Kyle Anderson and the Timberwolves. So we're going to do that here next. I want to give my thoughts on Kyle Anderson's potential role in the Wolves rotation this season. First, let's talk about our friends over at Built Bar. If you haven't tried Built Bar Puffs yet, you're depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. Guess what? There's a new flavor, delicious, indulgent cookie dough covered in chocolate. Built has done it again. Let me introduce you to your new favorite. Cookie dough chunk puffs have a light and chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks. And of course, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. Our friends at Built actually sent us a sample, sent all the hosts samples. I'm assuming all the hosts, probably wasn't just me. And they were fantastic. So I, of course, went, used our promo code LOCKDOWN15 and got myself my own cookie dough Built bars, cookie dough chunk puffs. So I actually had one this afternoon. It was fantastic. And it's good. Probably my new favorite, honestly, at this point. It's all the joys of eating cookie dough without the hassle of making it. Plus, it's healthy for you. Cookie dough chunk puffs are only 160 calories. They have a whopping 15 grams of protein. Run to Built.com to snag a box for you and the family. It'll be the perfect treat. Or you can find a really good hiding place and just hoard them for yourself. Like all Built bars, the new cookie dough chunk puff is covered in 100% real chocolate. They're healthy and tasty chocolate-covered cookie dough with a light, fluffy texture. What's great about Built is that all of their bars are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Eat something that tastes good and is good for you. You're going to love the new cookie dough chunk puff. Whether you need a snack for your workout, a late night treat, or just need to grab a quick bite, Built is the perfect protein bar, and they taste better than a candy bar. Ditch the calories, ditch the fat, and ditch the sugar. Grab yourself a Built bar. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKEDON15 and get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKEDON15. All right, over at theringer.com, There's an article from Dan Devine entitled "The 7 Most Intriguing Under the Radar Deals in NBA Free Agency." The Wolves are actually, I believe, the second one listed here in the article. It's not a ranking, I guess, but he talks about PJ Tucker, the Miami Heat trying to replace PJ Tucker. So he talks about Caleb Martin. And then the Wolves are actually the second one mentioned, but some of the other ones here is Marvin Bagley to Detroit is an interesting one. So he talks about that. And then he has got some quick hitters, but he spends a long time on 3 of them. And the Kyle Anderson one is one of them. So I'm going to read a couple of longer excerpts because I think it's important to get what he's saying. He talks about how important it is to get the complementary pieces to fit together. Like Mannix was just saying, related to Tim Connelly in the first segment that I, the first excerpt that I read. And he basically makes the case that Kyle Anderson is the perfect complementary player. That's what he's done in his career, first in San Antonio, then for 4 years in Memphis, where he can do whatever you need him to do. He can play really, he can act as anything from 1 through 5. Now, no, he's not a point guard. He's not a center, but he can initiate offense like a point guard. He can play a small ball 5 if you really want him to. He has the ability to do everything. He really is a Swiss Army knife type player. That's the best way I can describe Kyle Anderson. And so a couple examples given here by Devine at theringer.com. He says, this is me reading what Devine has here. He says, if you want maximum size up front, plug Slo-Mo with his 6'9" frame and 7'3" wingspan in at the 3 alongside Gobert and Cat. Let him match up with the opponent's most dangerous wing on defense while allowing him to use his estimable IQ to freelance with off-ball cuts while opponents focus on many starrier scoring threats. Starrier is a weird word to read. Nobody says that. On many starrier scoring threats, need to split up the bigs. Anderson's a ready-made reserve four with the bulk to bang and help out on the defensive glass. He talks about how he did that to fill in for Jaren Jackson Jr. Time to throw a curveball and go small against an opponent without a Jokic or Embiid-sized monster in the middle. Put Anderson at the 5, flanked by shooters and playmakers. Let him spread the floor, lope, poke, and prod his way to havoc. Okay, me talking now. This is exactly right. There's plenty of things that the Wolves can do with Anderson. I want to spend the whole last segment of the show talking about kind of playing out these different scenarios that he mentions a little bit further based on the personnel the Wolves have on their roster. Like, what other players will Kyle Anderson play with best? So I want to kind of project that out a bit. Devine does say, obviously, Finch doesn't want to play too small too often because of spending what they spend now on 2 of the best centers in the league. This is really interesting. He says, Kyle Anderson has a 2.3-1 career assist to turnover ratio. He also averaged 4.4 assists per 36 minutes in Memphis. The Wolves haven't had a power forward that does that, which is distribute the ball and basically mistake free. The Wolves haven't had a four that has done that really ever. Jared Vanderbilt handled the ball as little as possible, and for good reason, and on the offensive end of the floor. McDaniels didn't play a lot of four last year. You go back further. You look, Dario Saric, that was the idea with him, is he could initiate some offense and knock down threes. That he didn't have a great stint in Minnesota. Wancho, in between, has never been a playmaker. He's a spot up 3-point shooter. He's not going to play make for others. Go back even further, Taj Gibson, Gorgui Dieng, those guys, when they played the four with Towns, they're the more traditional get down low and bang, maybe hit a mid-range jumper. They're not stretching the floor. Gorgui does now, but he didn't then. And they're certainly not distributing. They're not initiating offense. So that's an interesting point. Talks about how good he's going to be defensively and that the Wolves don't need to blitz as much this year now with Gobert. But Anderson creates turnovers. Devine points out that Anderson's teams have almost always allowed fewer points per possession when he's on the floor. He has a fantastic basketball IQ, defensive IQ, long arm, a 7'3" wingspan. I said this a couple weeks ago on the pod, but the Wolves now in the starting lineup, assuming it's the lineup we are assuming it's going to be, everybody will be 6'4" or taller with a 6'9" or greater wingspan, which is just insane. Such a big, long starting lineup for the Wolves. And the bench is also fairly large as well. He talks about, this is fascinating. The most interesting part of Devine's write-up here is Kyle Anderson averaged the same number of deflections per 36 as Patrick Beverley did last season, which kind of floored me. Slo-Mo's a good defender. We know that, and he's long and everything, but Pat Bev was often on the ball or at least guarding somebody who is involved in primary actions for the opposing team, right? He's one of the better defenders on the team. Pat Bev was. He's going to guard the one or the two. So he's going to have more opportunities to get steals. Kyle Anderson, a lot of times he guards the opposing team's best perimeter offensive player, especially if it's a three or a four, but occasionally sometimes if it's a two as well. And Anderson was still able to get his hands in passing lanes and you know, be active in that regard. So it's the same number of deflections per 36 as Pat Bev did last season. Devine also talks about some concerns about his three-point shooting, 33%. We'll talk more about this in the last segment, but last season at 33% was a significant dip from the 36% he shot the year prior, which was, of course, a big improvement from the 27% or so he'd shot in Memphis the 2 years combined. So, yeah, I mean, if he shoots 33% or worse from outside the arc, the floor spacing isn't going to be there. If you're playing him at the four, but he's always going to be out there with one of Karl Anthony Towns or Rudy Gobert and likely one of Anthony Edwards or D'Angelo Russell. So, I mean, even if he shoots 33% from three, he at least can shoot threes, right? I mean, Jared Vanderbilt played the four and couldn't shoot threes. So you at least have that element, you know, the defense has to have that in the back of their mind. Even if they're okay with allowing him to shoot it, he's still not that far below league average. So the fact that he's got that capability and he's always had good touch, you know, in the paint and even in the mid range. So, you know, it's not a super significant worry for me. And Devine basically says that too. He says a pretty good floater mid-range game if his three-point shooting numbers bounce back and if Anderson's able to translate his chameleonic game to a new setting, he could be a pitch-perfect role player for a Wolves team intent on making a massive leap next season. I agree with this wholeheartedly. I think Kyle Anderson is going to be very, very good as that Swiss Army knife for the Wolves. So I want to kind of put together a couple possible lineups. I think I want to talk about, I guess, the three ways I think the Wolves will use him very generally, the players he may play with. I think the most likely or the lineup that we may see the most with him and then next most and kind of split it up in that manner. So we're going to do that here next. All right, Kyle Anderson has done a ton of different things in his career. He's held several different roles. He was a starter for like the first and third years in Memphis and was a bench guy in his second and fourth years in Memphis. He played a lot of three early in his career in Memphis and then moved to the four, played a lot more at the four last year when Jaren Jackson Jr. was out. He essentially backed up that spot. And he's also had opportunity to initiate offense. I mean, you go back... really throughout his career, he's been kind of a secondary playmaker, both in San Antonio and in Memphis. I think his most likely role for the Wolves, and I talked about this, if you missed the show, I was on Josh Lloyd's fantasy basketball show this weekend. It got published on Saturday here in the US. Of course, Josh is in Australia. So it was Friday there when it posted. But we talked a little bit. He asked me who I thought would play the most minutes off the bench. And I said, Kyle Anderson is going to be essentially the sixth man. And it's because of his versatility. Like my quick and dirty minutes projection, which we'll go through this as we get closer to the season, but I have him at the top minutes getter off the bench. I have him around 22 minutes per game. We look at what he did last season in Memphis, averaged 21 and a half minutes per game, 27 per game the year before that, but only 20 the year before that for his career, 21 minutes a game. So I think 22 is probably about right. Maybe a titch more than that. Maybe it's 23 or 24 minutes per game for Kyle Anderson. But I think he's part of that first wave of subs off the bench. I think you can play him with, say you don't want to use Jordan McLaughlin for whatever reason, or he's unavailable. Maybe Bryn Forbes plays your point guard in name, even though Forbes isn't really a point guard. He's more of a two guard in a point guard's body. Maybe Kyle Anderson's actually initiating offense there, or you play Kyle Anderson with McLaughlin and you can rotate who's initiating offense. But I think Anderson's part of that first wave of subs. And either Towns or Gobert will come out. Anderson will stay on the floor as the four. Then probably at the end of the first quarter, start of the second quarter, they flip. Anderson stays in at the four and Towns or Gobert, whichever one was sitting, comes back in the game. And then towards the end of the second quarter, we see, you know, probably 4 or 5 minutes of Towns and Gobert together, assuming they're not in foul trouble. And that's probably going to be what the front court rotation looks like. I don't think there's Naz Reid minutes. I don't think there's Nate Knight minutes on a regular basis. We may see Naz, you know, obviously both Gobert and Towns can be prone to foul trouble, especially Towns. So perhaps we see Naz in those situations or Nate Knight, depending on the matchups, what the situation calls for. If it's more offensive finesse, like a Naz Reid, or if it's rebounding and more, you know, brute force, then it would be Nate Knight. But I think Anderson primarily plays the four. And the other reason for that is the three, you have Jaden McDaniels, you also have Torian Prince, who can also play the four. Or you could play a little bit smaller with Ant at the three. Remember, Anthony Edwards played a ton of three his last two, or his, the last two seasons, his first two seasons in the league. And then you have Jalen Noel or Austin Rivers or whoever at the two, if Edwards is at the three. So I think Anderson is going to see the vast majority of minutes at the four. I don't think we'll see him much at the three. However, it's always possible the Wolves go ultra big lineup for some stretches. So I think that that may be the second most frequent lineup we see with Kyle Anderson is with him at the three. Because remember, Jaden McDaniels isn't small either. He's 6'9" with a similar wingspan, 6'10" really, with a wingspan similar to Kyle Anderson. He's your starter at the three. So perhaps Anderson and some against some teams, or if McDaniels gets into early foul trouble, and Anderson soaks up those minutes at the three. Torian Prince is penciled in my mind as the backup at the three, quote unquote backup, to play, you know, 16, 18 minutes a game off the bench. But you could play Prince and Anderson together, and they're kind of interchangeable at the three and the four. So I think Anderson's part of that first subgroup, four Towns or four Gobert, leaving the other one on the floor. He could play some minutes at the three in big lineups. I do think it's intriguing to think of him as a small ball five. He's really the only option there, unless you consider Nas a small ball five. He kind of is in a way, but a true small ball five. Kyle Anderson's really the only one that's an option. You know, I think he's better there than Torian Prince. I think he's can do a bit more for you in that potential role. So I think Kyle Anderson is the sixth man on this team. I think, you know, say McDaniels misses a game here or there, Anderson may start at the three, or you could see Torian Prince at the three. I think more likely it could be Anderson starting at the three in a no McDaniels situation, with Prince sliding then to a backup four role, and playing the Anderson role. The other option, of course, would be to start Noel and put Edwards at the three. But I think the Finch is going to like Noel's offense off the bench this year. So all that to say, Kyle Anderson is a Swiss Army knife. He's going to play a lot of minutes at the four. He'll probably play some minutes at the three. I think we'll see him very, very sparingly at the five, but it is an option. And his, again, his skill set, his willingness to pass, his ability to pass, that's the other interesting thing for me. If he ever sees any minutes starting at the three instead of Jaden McDaniels for whatever reason, that's another willing passer. I mean, you've got D'Lo and Anderson then as plus passers, and you've got Edwards and Towns as pretty good passers for what their role is and willing passers. But Kyle Anderson's looking to make the right basketball play every time down the floor. And that could be really fascinating. I think Jaden's going to start. I don't really think there's any question about that. But perhaps we see Kyle Anderson in the starting lineup at some point this year if there's an injury or, you know, COVID or whatever with Jaden McDaniels. Hopefully that's not the case. But we certainly could see Anderson in that particular role. Okay, that's all we have for you today here on the show. We are inching ever closer. We're like a month away now from media day and training camp. So we're getting there. We're getting closer. A big thank you to those of you that do make us your first listen every day. Of course, this show is free and available everywhere. Talking basketball throughout the off season, 3 days a week. You can find us on YouTube as well as any of your favorite audio platforms. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Lockdown T-Wolves. Don't forget the T, and also my account, which is at B Beacon. That's with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. You can find it below on the screen if you're watching on YouTube. And again, really appreciate it. If you watch on YouTube, please subscribe. Please like the video. Please comment below the video. And if you listen on, say, Apple, please leave a review. It's definitely helpful to get us in front of more folks and have more ears listening to the show. All right, Lockdown Wolves, of course, is part of the Lockdown Podcast Network. Remember, the Lockdown Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. For your second listen today, consider listening to Lockdown NBA. You can get up to date on the latest news and rumors in the league in just 30 minutes every day with Lockdown NBA. Lockdown NBA, your daily NBA update in just 30 minutes. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Lockdown Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.